Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show. Raheem Kassam joins us as we talk Mike Johnson and what on earth has he been doing lately. And then we speak to Dr. Myers about why should Christians care about Israel. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com and subscribe to our podcast. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here. Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. You don't get to laugh much anymore because, you know, we're in a very dark chapter. Somebody sent me this article yesterday. Just the title from the National Pulse, I couldn't stop laughing. It is, what the F is Mike Johnson doing? It's by Raheem Kassam. So when I saw the author, I laughed even more because I could just hear him saying that in his British accent. Raheem, welcome back to the program. Everyone should check out the National Pulse. It's amazing. What is Mike Johnson doing exactly?
Yeah, thank you for having me, Charlie. The headline was just my personal reaction when a friend sent me the video stream from Speaker Johnson at Columbia University yesterday, you know, getting heckled, embarrassing himself, really, not to detract from the obvious points he's making, right? I think we can all agree on the obvious points he's making. But, you know, Napoleon had an old phrase from the Battle of Waterloo. He said, when the enemy is making a mistake, don't interrupt him. And Mike Johnson interrupting as the left tears itself to pieces over this war overseas just struck me as particularly stupid, but also struck me as particularly heinous, given the fact that there are about 6 months left to go until the election, and one of the critical things that the Democrats fear right now is that they're going to fail to turn out their hard left base, perhaps their Hamas friendly base, perhaps their Islamist base, and we've seen how White House staffers have been kind of turned away from going to Arab and Muslim neighborhoods in Michigan and elsewhere. And meanwhile, Mike Johnson wants to go and they go, hey, guys, actually, you know, hold me up as the bad guy in this scenario.
Well, I just don't understand what the heck is he doing? I'm just failing to understand what exactly was the point of this. Like, yeah, I don't like the protests, right? Obviously, I don't like what they're saying. They have a right to say it. But, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, we have a wide open southern border that he's done nothing to actually secure. We're adding $1 trillion toward every 100 days. Like, Speaker Johnson can join me on a campus anytime. I'll show him around of just a bunch of people screaming to the sky. Not exactly new. What exactly was this? I don't understand. And by the way, he united all the left. Everyone like stopped screaming at each other and said, oh, we hate him. We hate him. We hate him. And question, Raheem, did he visit the courtroom where Donald Trump is currently experiencing a Moscow show trial? It was like, I don't know, a mile and a half down the street.
No, nothing like that. Nothing like expunging the impeachment records. Nothing like going after the NGOs who are trying to launder illegals into this country in order to vote, which they're very, very open about, by the way, especially at local levels. We'll be doing some reporting on that in the coming days. You know, nothing on the university endowments, nothing on Citizens United to actually take corporate power, you know, that is being wielded in aggression against Donald Trump, but also wielded in terms of corporate donations to college campuses, the donations that they get, even from a lot of liberal Jewish people who should be ashamed about what they are putting together in these college campuses. Right? Nothing on that, right? Nothing on that. Just go there. And if it's sort of like, I mean, this is an insult to you, I think, but it's sort of like a dollar store Charlie Kirk impression that he was doing up there, right?
Well, I take it as a compliment, but yes, I mean, like, but here's the thing. It's like, hey, man, if you want to do the college thing, give us a call. We know how to do this thing right, you know? I got to play the clip here. So which one is it? It's cut 136 here. He's getting heckled and all this. I just play cut 136.
Riled them. They have shouted racial epithets. They have screamed at those who bear the Star of David. Enjoy your free speech.
I don't understand, but then if it's just free speech, why are you visiting? I help me understand, Raheem. I'm not being like sarcastic. We have serious problems and issues here. What's going on here?
Look, there are two things that are possible in this scenario, and I get into this in the article, right? The first one is what we opened with here, which is it's just outright stupidity, right? It's just trying to intervene when your enemy is making its own mistakes. And like you said, uniting a divided left against the Republicans. And in most people's minds, unfortunately, we know this is not true, but in most people's minds, they'll see, oh, Republican at this university, very unpopular, Donald Trump. And Donald Trump actually intervened in this later on in the day to say, hey, actually, Joe Biden has a big problem with Israel and Jews. Joe Biden has an equal problem with the Palestinians. And understands that wedge is very important as you go into an election. But Mike Johnson, the other part of it that I think may be happening here, and look, this is just me with my tinfoil hat on as I you know, can currently keep wearing nowadays. A tinfoil hat stays on, right? Is somebody is sending him up there to do this work. Somebody who doesn't have conservatives, Americans' best interests at heart as it pertains to the upcoming election, somebody who certainly doesn't have Donald Trump's best interests at heart in winning the election, but somebody who may have Mike Johnson's interests at heart and say to him, listen, you do this for us, you scratch our backs on this on these college campuses, you go tell these students how silly they're being, we might actually help you out with some money to fend off your opposition, and I say opposition on the right, in Congress. And I would like to hear, remember, this is what Kevin McCarthy was so good at, right? He was extracting money out of Republican donors in order to face off Republican primary challengers all across the country who weren't McCarthyites. And I want to hear Mike Johnson or somebody on Mike Johnson's staff saying, no, that is absolutely not what we're doing. We would never do that to Republican opponents like McConnell and McCarthy have done for years. I don't think they can come out and say this because deep down, this is what I think is really going on here. This is yet another fissure in the movement, and it's a fissure that the rhinos, whatever you want to call them, I'm sick of calling them rhinos now at this point. It's so trite. I don't say swear words, right? But I call them conservatives under nominal terms. You can do the acronym for yourself. These people on Capitol Hill are some of the most heinous, feckless, and evil people that you'll ever meet in your life. And that's what I think this has come down to.
So there's major and pressing issues here. And I want to play cut 138. It's Ilhan Omar says Speaker's condemnation was designed to endanger the lives of young people who are at the encampment. Let's play cut 138.
And it is not surprising that he would go out to Columbia University and stir up really more anger and hate and endanger the lives of young people who are at the encampment at Columbia University.
So Raheem, just did any Republican leadership speak out in the last 4 years when campus protests were calling for the end of whiteness or BLM or Antifa? What is it about this particular protest that has the Speaker of the House the need to go say, stop saying what you're saying?
Well, it's a loaded question, isn't it? But you're absolutely right. You know, when the DEI professors, when whiteness is called demonic and all of this stuff happens routinely, by the way, you know this. It's happened every day on almost every college campus in America.
Yes.
Not a peep out of Republicans. And by the way, you know, the fact that Ilhan Omar feels emboldened to be able to go on television and lash out proves the point, right? He's just laid it up for her to dunk on him, laid it up for all of them to dunk on him. This is about something different, right? This is about being not America first. Here you have these foreign wars. We've already shown that he capitulated so easily on the Ukraine stuff. He's so easy to capitulate on where America needs to intervene abroad. And listen, you and I are on the record here. We're no fans of Islamists. I left Islam, right? I've taken all the curses and the fatwas and the death threats and all that. I wrote a book called No-Go Zones. I went to these neighborhoods, these Islamist neighborhoods in Europe, to expose what's going on there. But that doesn't mean to say that you have to prioritize foreign wars and foreign interventionism above all else. And this is what Mike Johnson is now doing. You know, until that yesterday, I was kind of on the fence about the motion to vacate stuff. I was like, look, you don't need these optics going into an election. He goes up there yesterday. I said, you know what? Maybe MTG is right. This guy is a clown. He doesn't know what he's doing. It'd be better off to have a vacant seat for the next 6 months.
Are you ready to lose weight but not sure where to start? I understand. I was right where you are 2 years ago. Let me tell you why I chose the PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition Program. First, Dr. Ashley Lucas has her PhD in chronic disease and sports nutrition. Her program is based on years of research and is science-based. Second, the PhD program starts in nutrition. There is so much more. They know that 90% of permanent change comes from the mind, and they work on eliminating the reason you gained this weight in the first place. There's no shortcuts, pills, or injections, just solid, science-based nutrition and behavior change. And finally, probably most importantly, I lost 30 pounds. Look, they're amazing. If you want to lose weight, you got to go to myphdweightloss.com. I was just texting with Dr. Ashley Lucas today. If you're ready to lose weight for the last time, call 864-644-1900. Go online at myphdweightloss.com. Do what I did and what hundreds of my listeners have done and call today, 864-644-1900. I recommend their program. Dr. Ashley Lucas has her PhD in chronic disease and sports nutrition. Her program is based on years of research and is science-based. Second, the PhD program starts in nutrition, but it's so much more. Go to myphdweightloss.com, myphdweightloss.com. Call 864-644-1900. I lost over 30 pounds. Dr. Ashley Lucas, great American. Check it out, myphdweightloss.com. So Raheem, just can you elaborate a little bit more on that? Is it time to vacate the chair?
Yeah, look, I have demurred on this topic for the last couple of weeks. I've watched the arguments on both sides. You know, usually I like to stick my oar in wherever I can. But, you know, I think it's fascinating because you have to have a solution. You can't just be posing a problem all the time. And I think this has been one of the problems that we have is I've spoken to many members of Congress about this in the last couple of weeks. And they say, look, if you vacate Mike Johnson from the chair, who else you got? And that is a very, very reasonable answer. I think a lot of people out there are saying, well, anything would be better. Not true, right? Not true. I did a whole analysis article about this about a week ago, just walking people through exactly what would happen if, for instance, you had a number of Republicans who left Congress, handed over a majority to Democrats. In the run-up to an election, you would have unlimited subpoena power. You would have Jamie Raskin's bill, which tries to bar Trump from the ballot. You would have them take over this weaponization committee, which still, by the way, this shows you how useless the Republicans have been in power, still has about $8 to $10 million in the weaponization bank account that hasn't been used to go after the Democrats and to go after their corruption. So they'd use that immediately. They don't waste time like our side does. And so, look, it would be a pretty heinous scenario if you had a Hakeem Jeffries or you had a Democrat majority there. But again, you know, it's very difficult when you see Mike Johnson going up and doing his thing yesterday, when you see him acting like almost just a child who doesn't know what he's doing. And he's standing on a stage and he looks lost and people are shouting at him. And you think, what are you doing? It would be better to have an inanimate carbon rod in the speaker's chair in Congress, because it would probably do more use. And that's the difficult part, I think, that we all feel in our hearts, that we all feel in our souls, is that especially those of us like yourself who know Donald Trump and know how hard he works every day. You know, he's out there at 6 a.m. this morning in Midtown Manhattan talking to the union members. And then what do the Republicans always do? Well, Abba Aban, you know, the old Israeli diplomat, had a phrase, since we're on this topic, about the Palestinians. He said they never miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity. Same thing with the Republican Party. Never miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity, Charlie.
Let's talk about the lawfare here with Donald Trump. He's up against huge opposition. You saw the news in Arizona. You know, 17 people indicted. Raheem, when are we going to get an opposition party that adequately fights back against this and has some mutually assured destruction? Why are the Democrats the only ones that use political power? Why is our side so afraid of it?
I think organization is one of the problems here, and everybody wants to be in charge, and everybody wants to have their slice of the pie, and everybody's sort of trying to get a better job title and enrich themselves and all at the same time, instead of kind of, you know, corralling together and moving in as legion against the deep corruption. I mean, people ignore the fact that the lawyer that Jack Smith had at the Supreme Court today is the same lawyer that Bob Mueller was using to prosecute the Russian case. You know, it's extraordinary that isn't plastered about everywhere in advance of this. Instead, people kind of all pull in their different directions. Organization is key. And one of the stories that we pulled up on the National Pulse today, actually, Politico first reported it, was that the far left, the anti-Trump left, have these conference calls every week where they go down the roster and they say, right, how are you advancing the football today? How are you moving this topic forward? And it's everybody you could possibly imagine, right, who is nefarious on the political left. It's Roberta Kaplan, E. Jean Carroll's lawyer, and many other people's lawyers as well. It's Norm Eisen. It's the Midas Touch people. They all have these strategic Zoom calls every week where they help each other out and they help each other reach their end goals. I know that kind of happens in some areas of the right. You've had Grover Norquist and his
rarely.
Guys do it.
Our side hates each other.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to get people on the phone. And if you do get them on the phone, they're all screaming at each other the whole time. Yep. And calling each other all sorts of names and so on and so forth. So I think that is the predominant problem that we face at the moment, is there isn't an enforcer. Perhaps this is a job for you, Charlie, if you have some spare time. Come about and knock people's heads together.
It is certainly something we've tried to do. People are very protective, though, of their little fiefdom. We've never worried about that. We just build and we just build. I will say, though, there is a fair amount of there's so much infighting on the right currently. Raheem, I'd love to have you back and kind of just have you take score. I mean, it keeps score. It's unbelievable the amount of infighting right now, right? I've never seen anything quite like it from O'Keefe.
Yeah, it's why we built our own thing. Like, why you built your own
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. I don't want to deal with anyone. Are you kidding me? No, yeah. There's a massive right-wing civil war underway that's kind of flying below the radar. And it could end up being detrimental ahead of November. Raheem, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, Charlie.
Hey there. Investing feels overwhelming right now, doesn't it? So complicated, so many decisions. But leaving your money in the bank, not so great. It's losing value every single day. So if it's stressing you out and driving you nuts, invest with Noble Gold Investments. Their precious metals are simple and real. There isn't a company on the stock market that was around 2,000 years ago, but gold was. It's always been there through wars, disasters, and turmoil. Reliable, dependable, and authentic. That's why you can't go wrong with precious metals. They've always had your back. Noble Gold Investments, American-based experts, will show you how to set and forget your IRA or 401k. You'll get a dedicated professional assigned to you. No hassle, no call centers. Colin Plume runs Noble Gold Investments. We've had him on the show before. He's awesome. I love hanging out with him. He's terrific. I can vouch for his integrity and for his knowledge about gold and silver. In fact, I have my silver right next to me right here. I buy all of my gold from Noble Gold Investments. I have vetted them top to bottom. In fact, I know a billionaire that just made a very big purchase of gold from Noble Gold Investments. So visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to claim your gold coin. This month, Noble Gold Investments is giving a free quarter ounce gold standard coin at each qualifying IRA investment. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com, NobleGoldInvestments.com. Joining us now is Dr. Jeff Myers, who is an awesome person, really enjoying rereading his book, Truth Changes Everything. That's not why he's on the program here. Dr. Myers, welcome to the program.
Hey, Charlie. Great to be with you.
Dr. Myers is also doing a training with our TPUSA Faith staff. We got all sorts of fun stuff we're doing together. And I also want to just plug Summit Ministries. One of the most important organizations out there. But we can get into that. So tell us about this poll here. As soon as you texted me, I responded with enthusiasm for multiple reasons. So Dr. Myers, walk us through it.
Well, we did a poll about Gen Z and Israel. So a lot of polls, you know, 1,000 or so people respond. Very small percentage of 18 to 24-year-olds. So where a lot of the polls are basing their results on a just, you know, 50 or 100 young people and their opinions. So we oversampled, working with Scott Rasmussen, young adults, 450, almost 500 young adults out of the total population. And what we found is that young adults, yes, and it came through Newsweek magazine. They broke the story for us. Positive story in Newsweek. Miracles happen. But it was a fascinating thing to realize that young adults are three times as likely to believe that Israel does not have a right to exist. 47% believe that Hamas's cause is unjust and Israel's wealth and military power make it unjust. And it just goes downhill from there. So centrally, we have a big divide in this country, and it's not between rural people and urban people. It's between the older people and the younger people.
So let's dive deeper then. Dr. Myers, why is Gen Z so anti-Israel in your diagnosis? Is it because they're the least religious generation in American history?
I think that could be possible. You've seen these studies that right now only about 16% of young adults are proud to be Americans. And there's a lot to not be proud of about our country, honestly. That's why you're on the air every day. We got to get our act together. But that combined with a postmodern mindset of everybody in the world fits into either oppressor or oppressed, which comes from a Marxist mindset. You know, Hamas as a military unit is more Marxist than they are Muslim. You've got to remember that. They believe that they teach everybody in the world, you know, we are being oppressed. Well, nobody wants to be an oppressor. I mean, people are so uninterested in being oppressors that they will even make up mental health issues for themselves so that they can appear to be oppressed. That's where we are with this generation.
So Dr. Myers, I want to now dive into your book, Should Christians Support Israel, which is coming out. And I'm sure you're publishing it and writing it for a reason. I'm very pro-Israel. Our audience is very pro-Israel. But the number one question I receive on campus from conservative Christians, Dr. Myers, is they are not pro-Israel. They don't like Israel, and they think Israel is, at the very least, that we shouldn't be supporting it financially. They don't see why we give all this preferential treatment to it, why we give, you know, $26 billion, that Israel gets us into too many conflicts. So, Dr. Myers, lay out the case, and then I will play devil's advocate so that you can help answer some of these questions for me. But yeah, why should Christians support Israel?
Well, there are several reasons. The first reason to support Israel from a biblical perspective is that the modern Israeli state is a renewal of the ancient Jewish state from which we got our constitution. Eric Nelson from Harvard University talks about the Hebrew Republic, and he's correct. The Hebrews had a constitutional republic. Our founders intentionally and specifically built the United States Constitution on that basis. So we have a tremendous heritage there. Biblically, the case starts in Genesis chapter 12, where God told Abram, later renamed Abraham, I will bless you, and through you, all nations of the earth will be blessed. In Galatians chapter 3, scripture says to Christians that those who believe are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. And so, therefore, Christians have inherited that blessing, and it's a covenantal blessing. We could talk more specifically about the idea of covenant. But the idea is not that Christianity replaced Judaism. It's that we as Christians have the privilege of being joined with our Jewish brothers and sisters now as God's people.
So what do you have to say then to like a Catholic student that comes up and says it's very clear that Jesus was saying that there's ancient Israel and then modern Israel? And for example, I don't know how to always respond to this. Israel is the home of the most gay pride parades, most abortions, right? One of the most secular countries. Is that really ancient Israel that the scriptures are talking about? There's very little evidence that modern Israel is even religious.
Oh, well, I think there's plenty of evidence that modern Israel is religious, but I would say it's correct that it's at least half secular. It's probably less secular than the United States of America is, and we have a lot of high hopes for our own country. But yes, I think the gay issue probably would take a whole other show. You've got to keep in mind that Jewish people view themselves as having been victims throughout history, 6 million Jews. That was almost half of the population of Jews in the world at that time were killed during the Holocaust. And so anybody else who they view as being marginalized, they will step up and support. By the way, out of the 9 million people who live in Israel, 2 million are Arabs. And this is, by the way, it's not a white colonialist state in any respect. I mean, there are people, 103 different countries who've emigrated to Israel, 85 different languages. It's one of the most diverse countries in the world. So with that diversity and with religious freedom, you're going to expect to see people who may sort of have a form of godliness but deny its power, as the Apostle Paul put it. That part doesn't bother me.
Yeah, it's just a lot of people will cite this study that shows that Israel is one of the least religious countries in the world. Only 30% of Israelis say they're religious. It's on the very bottom of the list. So I just don't know always how to respond to that, because they're very secular, right? They do have obviously some Orthodox Jews there. But can you go to the scripture? What does the scripture say about how this modern Israel is the fulfillment of prophecy?
Well, there's a textured argument that has to be made here. I will admit that right up front. You have to understand the idea of a covenant. So in the Old Testament, a covenant is how people sealed agreements. God made a covenant with Abraham. And in a covenant, they would take an animal, divide its carcass in half, and the parties to the covenant would walk through, in essence, signaling, may what was done to this animal be done to me if I violate this covenant. When the parts were divided, God put Abraham into a sleep, and God alone walked through the pieces. So we say it's God's covenant with Abraham, but it wasn't really. It was God's covenant with himself on behalf of Abraham. And so God put his own reputation on the line. Well, if you look at the idea of covenant, all throughout scripture, it is a covenant with a people in a land, over and over again, dozens of times throughout the Old Testament. Now, the theological framework that a lot of people are operating with was prior to 1948. There was no physical Israel because the Jews were kicked out in AD 70. So they assumed that it had to be a spiritual concept, not a physical one, because there was no physical Israel. I think a lot of people's framework theologically has not taken into account the fact that Israel now exists. So of the nations in the region, Jews are the only ones who have a historic tie to the land going back 3,000, even 3,500 years. The Jewish state lists itself intentionally, constitutionally as a Jewish state. The flag is based on the Jewish prayer shawl. The holidays and rituals in the country are based on Jewish holidays and rituals. And for those reasons, I think I can look at that and say, I believe that it is part of fulfilled prophecy. Now, you know, if you think about prophecy at all, you realize many prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus, in his death and resurrection. Many were fulfilled prior to that. Many were fulfilled after that. And we believe that many are yet to be fulfilled. And the Catholic Church, so if we're thinking specifically about the Catholic student, the Catholic Church actually came around to this. For a long time, the Catholic Church was anti-Jewish, a strong persecutor of Jews. And in the 1960s and 1970s, there was a radical reversal. And the Pope said, we repent of all of that persecution of Jews, and we now see Jews as our brothers and sisters.
So Dr. Myers, how do you think that we can best convince people of our argument? Because we're not doing great. I'd say vast majority of the Christians I work with want nothing to do with Israel.
Yeah, I think, you know, in the book, Should Christians Support Israel, I have a chapter called The Israel of Your Bible. And if you can't be convinced by the biblical arguments, I quote chapter and verse, just like I've done on this show. If you can't be convinced that way, if your theology is somehow getting in the way of the Bible, then maybe it's your theology that needs to change. But there's something more that can be done too, Charlie. I think, you know, we talked about this poll at the beginning. I asked, do you think that the fact that Israel is wealthier and has greater military power makes its cause unjust? And 47% of Gen Z said yes. But then I threw them a curveball. The very next question on the survey, does the fact that Hamas leaders have become billionaires by skimming international aid away from needy Gazans make their cause unjust? 57% of Gen Z immediately said yes. 23% were cast into confusion and said they weren't sure. It was a reversal of almost 50% of the people who took the survey in one question, just by understanding one of the many, many facts on the ground.
I go on campuses and I'm constantly defending Israel. And I would say, again, it's conservatives that are the most critical. The left is too, but I mean, they're critical about other stuff. But it's the one.
Can I say one more thing
please.
About that, Charlie?
Yeah, please.
This is super important, Charlie. The United Nations wants to become a world government, and most of the nations in the world want that. The United States' relationship with Israel is one of the only things remaining in the world that keeps the United Nations from becoming a world government. It is our support of Israel against the will of the United Nations that keeps it from having absolute authority in the eyes of the world. So this is not like other foreign policy issues. I can understand why we would debate, but the United States' support of Israel, I believe, is a stand for American sovereignty.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Dr. Jeff Myers writes the book, Should Christians Support Israel? So Dr. Myers, you were talking about the attitude generationally. I would say that older Christians are definitely very pro-Israel, younger Christians, not so much. I'm struggling with how to convince. I'm usually pretty good at persuasion. I've been to Israel twice, changed my life. I love Israel. I defend Israel. But I just don't feel as if the message is getting out the way it should. You work with young people with Summit Ministries. Remind our audience about Summit Ministries and your experience about how to best respond to that.
Yeah, well, summit.org is our website, and at Summit Ministries, students will engage with us either through curriculum courses or in-person programs. The in-person events, and you've spoken at one of these, it's an 11-day life-changing event. 1% of Gen Z has a biblical worldview. By the time they finish those 11 days, 95% say they have a biblical worldview. And even after 10 years, 85% still say they have a biblical worldview. So there's some dropout, but not very much. You can change somebody's perspective and make it more biblical. You do that through solid teaching, facts. You also do it through asking and answering questions, dialogue. And you do it through community, through small groups and one-on-one mentoring and time with the pastors and so forth who are at the event so that they actually believe they're treated as adults. And questions are a key. One of the questions you've got to ask on Israel and Palestine is, what happened to you to make you feel the way you do? You have to turn the question around and get at what the source of propaganda is that they have believed that caused them to turn away from the truth. And one of the primary things you realize is, for a lot of Christians, they're like, well, whoever's hurt the most must be the most righteous. Isn't that the Christian thing? And so we think the Gazans are oppressed the most, therefore the Gazans are more righteous. That's as far as they've thought about it. Well, what you have to do is help people understand.
What are they talking about, the people that are hurt the most? What is that? I've never heard
of that. It's the way some people process Jesus's death. Like if they say, well, Jesus, he was hurt by the Jews. And so, anybody who's, the more you sacrifice, the more you are hurt, the more righteous you are. And there are many different scriptures that people would turn to. None of them actually imply that, but, people aren't looking for a super deep perspective. They're just wanting to find some biblical way that makes them feel that it's okay to agree with their leftist progressive friends. That's what has to be challenged. And I think in the book, Should Christians Support Israel? That's what I'm trying to do. I'm specifically focused on Gen Z. The book isn't even out yet, by the way. It's if you go to summit.org/Israel, you can fill out a form there and I can get you the book as soon as it is published. But I can't do that. It's not going to be in bookstores. This is going to be distributed directly to people. And then pastors are going to order hundreds of copies and have people in the congregation study it.
I love it.
So summit.org/Israel.
So in closing, Doctor, are you optimistic the more that we're able to speak about this issue that we'll be able to win people over? Because the propaganda is overwhelming against Israel and the Jewish people.
I think once people see that this propaganda is coming from Hamas, which is an apocalyptic rape and death cult. And I prove that with 200 footnoted documents in this book. They will see we have been misled. We have been indoctrinated, and it's time to come to the truth.
It is a death cult, and we must understand that, you know, to understand Israel and their behavior, you must first have clarity on the neighbors, what they believe, how they live, and just the, I would believe, demonic worldview that a lot of them have. And so that makes a lot more, that helps contextualize the fight that Israel has. I think that's really important, and we need to emphasize that. Dr. Myers, thanks so much.
Thanks, Charlie.
And I always laugh at some of these, free Palestine protesters. Like, yeah, okay, go try and live in some of these Arab countries. I'm sure your protest would last quite long. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.